We're taking our Bible reading from the Old Testament. We read from 1 Samuel and chapter 1. Now, we're not going to read all of the chapter, but we'll commence at verse 1, first of all, down to verse 20, and then the last two verses. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she'd been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early, worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And verse 27, For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Amen. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I'd like you to open your Bible there with me, please, at 1 Samuel chapter 1, which no doubt will be a familiar portion of Scripture to all of God's people. And the verse 27, especially the opening part of the verse, says this. And Hannah herself is speaking, and she says, "For this child I prayed." And I want to leave very simply with you a thought on the power of prevailing prayer. Now, I do understand that when we come to deal with a subject like prayer, a multitude of messages have been preached on that subject, and yet there's always encouragement in God's word as we further study it. The power of prevailing prayer. God's intervention in the life of Hannah is a very interesting one, and one that touches the heart of every genuine, sympathetic child of God. Hannah comes to us in the Bible as a woman who is grieved in her heart and deeply wounded in her spirit. We read of her weeping, we read of her not eating, and we read of her fretting. So when you look at the story of Hannah, you're looking at an individual who is in the depths of awful depression. That's really what depression is. Always fretting. Always weeping. Can't eat. And Hannah sadly finds herself there at that moment. She was being buffeted and beaten up by her enemy. She is then misunderstood by the Christian leaders of the day, and then she is bitterly criticized. The Bible tells us that her tears are flowing like a fountain, and because of her fretting, she just can't eat. She's a woman with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, something that this world will despise, but that is something God says he will not despise. Because in Psalm 34 in the verse 18, the Bible says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now in this chapter, in this story, we have a person with whom many of God's people can identify with at some period in their Christian pathway. The Bible reminds us all that we are called to wayfaring and to warfaring struggles. And like Hannah, we need to place our confidence firmly in the Lord, because no matter how you read or study the story of Hannah, with all her depression and difficulties and trials, she never wavered in her faith toward God. The chapter sets forth her sanctity and her sorrow, and her supplication, and her song, and her sacrifice, because she gives back to the Lord that which he had given to her as long as young Samuel would live. The power of prevailing prayer. She could say, "For this child I prayed." I want to just draw your thoughts to a couple of things. First of all, we have Hannah's predicament there, and the Bible tells us what that is in verse 2. Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, Hannah was the favorite wife of Elkanah because he gave to her a worthy portion, the Bible says. And though Elkanah was a godly man and one who went to worship God, yet he followed the common custom of the day, which was polygamy. You must remember, of course, that was a period in Israel's history in which the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But it produced the darkest period in all of Israel's history. The fact that Hannah had no children was a source of great grief to her. But the Bible tells us why that was. Because it says in the verse 5, unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now sometimes it's very difficult to understand what God is doing, but the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things, not some things, not most things, not many things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm sure at that moment Hannah couldn't see that. As often in the midst of our difficult times, we fail to see the hand of God. And in that particular period of human history, barrenness was considered a reproach. It was also considered and seen as God's displeasure. That's how it was with Rachel, because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 30 that Rachel, she had no children, and then it says in verses 22 to 24, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach, because it was a reproach in those days. It was Hannah's ambition and desire to hold to her bosom a child of her own flesh. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, in that the Lord had shut up her womb and she had no children, and it was become a reproach in Israel, now the devil seizes upon that. And he uses it greatly to attack Hannah, to cause her to fall into awful depression. Now, wonder Hannah's problem. You see her distress there in verse 6, because it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. And often the devil takes our circumstances, even circumstances over which you and I have no control whatsoever, and he uses them as a rod to beat us. And that's how it was with young Samuel's mother. Her adversary, in this case, because you will notice that it moves from the male term to the female term. And for example, in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, and that, of course, is a reference to our great adversary. And then it goes on to say, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Now the devil was using Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, because she had children and Hannah had no children. Now she is the instrument that the devil is using to attack Hannah. Of course, every child of God has to contend with the devil. And sometimes we fail to understand or appreciate the greatness of our adversary, and little wonder Peter exhorts us to be sober and to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he doesn't say as a lion, but as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm a wildlife lover, and I love to go to those parks where they have lions and all the rest of it. But you know, the amazing thing is when you drive through, they just lie there yawning. And they look at you as if some deluded creature, and they just go back to sleep. But that's not the picture that is given of the devil. As a roaring lion, and it suggests how ferocious the devil can be. It suggests how deep and dark and awful the problem of depression can be in someone's life. Hannah was greatly distressed because her adversary was taking her circumstances that God had ordered and using them as a weapon to attack her. The Bible makes it clear that when God shuts a door, no man opens it. And when God opens a door, no man shuts it. And that, of course, was the same when Noah built his ark. And the Lord said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And then it says, and the Lord shut him in. If you use a little bit of sanctified imagination, the people of that day mocked and jested and joked at an old man of such an age, talking about rain that had never done in the history of the world before, and about floods, and they didn't know what he was talking about. And yet, no doubt, when those floods would have started to arise, they would have realized their predicament. But Noah could do nothing for them because the Lord had shut the door. And my friend, that's what happens when you and I are saved by God's grace. We are taken out of our sin and we are put in Christ, and we are shut in Christ by God, and we are made as safe as God can possibly make a man or a woman. There's never any need to doubt your salvation, because in Christ it is the Lord who shuts us into the ark of his salvation. And not even the devil can undo that. And so it was God's will at that particular time that Hannah would have no children. Hence the Lord shut up her womb. But Hannah, her enemy is using this now. She's weeping all the time. She's not eating. And now she's fretting. And you know, sometimes, folks, we can say things without serious thought. And somebody's in the throes of depression, and somebody comes along and says, pull yourself together, shake yourself out of it. Friend, if it were that easy, they would never be there. Or maybe there's a parent even here today, and the devil is taking your family circumstances and giving you a hard time. Maybe you're a Christian, but your children are not following in your footsteps. The devil will say it's your fault, when it's not your fault. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And we need always consider those words, when he is old. The Bible reminds us, of course, through the lips of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Galatia in chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And you will note there in verses 6 and 7 the severity of the attack on Hannah. It says her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret. And how expressive are those words? Like a festering wound that would not heal. It was ongoing, verse 7 says, year by year. And even when she went to the house of God, there was no respite. Even there, her enemy attacked her. And Hannah becomes so depressed. She couldn't eat, she could only weep. But we have to realize this, that our disappointments are often God's appointments. And Hannah would soon find that to be absolutely true. I love reading biographies and autobiographies. And many years ago, a young lawyer in America fell into a terrible state of awful depression. So much so that family and friends had to move everything out of the house. Like knives and forks and spoons and anything, ties and belts, that he might use to harm himself. The house was basically stripped bare of every instrument that he could not harm himself. And during that period of awful depression, that young man wrote these words, I am now the most miserable man alive. Whether I will ever be better, I cannot tell, but I am awfully afraid I will not. But with God's grace, that young man did recover, went on to be one of America's greatest presidents in the person of Abraham Lincoln. Hannah is totally depressed by her present situation, and the devil is using it, as he does with all of God's people. But then I want you to notice Hannah's petition, because the Bible says in verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." Now, Hannah was childless. The devil was using that. But she wasn't prayerless. You know, folks, sometimes when trouble comes, we can fall into a certain trap. And we can run hither and thither to everybody but to the Lord. But Hannah's pain found refuge in prayer, and she besought the great Creator to lift her into the realm of motherhood and to interfere with the very law of nature on her behalf, because she believed God. Sometimes pain and circumstances will drive even some of God's people in rebellion away from God. Remember conducting a mission in South Armagh, knocking a door, and these people were very, very bitter, but they had been Christians. And they weren't going to any mission, and they weren't going to any church, because they had a son that was killed in a road accident, and they blamed God for that. You see, circumstances can make us bitter, when actually they're meant to make us better. And they certainly made Hannah better. And we find that she took her situation, and she took her sorrow to the Lord. I'm always encouraged in our hymn book with the words of Joseph Scriven's hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And Joseph Scriven knew what he was writing about, because he was writing out of experience. He was born in St. Patrick, a few miles out of Banbridge, and he was brought up there. They met a young girl, they fell in love, they planned their wedding. It was to be held the next day. She took her horse out for a ride the day prior to the wedding, and the horse threw her and she was killed. And there was no wedding. And he was shattered and broken. And a few years later, he emigrated to Scotland, to Canada, to a little place called Port Hope, about 60 miles out of Toronto. And he eventually met and found love again. They planned to be married. And just there, there's a lake called Lake Rice. And she wanted to be baptized. And so one day, he went down to the lake, and she was baptized. The water was bitterly cold. A few days later, she took pneumonia, and a few days later, she died. And out of those awful circumstances, he wrote a letter to his mother in Banbridge, the content of was, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And her mother showed that letter to someone who took it, and they put music to it, and we have it as one of our best loves hymns today. And we do have a friend in Jesus. Now, thinking about Hannah's petition, you will see the cause of her prayer there. In verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul. That does not mean that Hannah was a bitter woman. That bitterness there actually means angry. She was angry in her soul. She was not angry with God. She was angry with her adversary, the devil, and Peninnah. She was, like as the scripture says in another portion, like a bear robbed of her whelps. She's hurt. And Peninnah was gloating over Hannah's predicament. Now, that's hard to understand, folks. And it's very hard to understand. Maybe when some Christian goes down in business, others gloat. Or some dear child of God falls on the way. Some will gossip and gloat. That's what Peninnah did. And that's what's hurting Hannah. That's what's causing her to be angry. But it drove Hannah to seek the Lord. And you know, folks, sometimes the Lord allows things to happen in our life, maybe to remind us we need his power, we need his presence, we need to seek his face. Always that danger of being careless in that matter. You can see the character of her prayer in verse 11. Now it says, she vowed a vow. And many people vow vows. They never keep them. How many people in this province will carry a child to the front of the church and they'll vow to bring it up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? They didn't even know the Lord themselves. But God recorded the vow. And Hannah vowed a vow, and as we go on, you will discover that Hannah keeps her vow. She pours out her soul, she bargains with God, and she kept her bargain. Give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And she persevered in prayer in this province. A young man, his father ran a mill. He had an only son. That young man felt the call of God. And he was making preparation to go into God's work. And I believe the callings of God are without repentance. Suddenly the father died. Who was going to run the mill? And this battle raised in that young man's mind, will he go and answer God's call, or will he stay at home and run the mill? He stayed at home and ran the mill. Never was that prosperous a business under his father's watch, but he certainly tried to make it go, and he worked night and day, early morning, late at night, to make this thing a go. Until it was beginning to take over his life, and then now come Wednesday night, he's beginning to miss the prayer meetings. Then after some time, lo and behold, he's missing on a Sunday night. And after some time further on, he's beginning to miss out on a Sunday because he was so weary and so tired working day and night that if he were going to meet a friend, it was going to have to be on a Sunday. Worked himself into terrible ill health. Fell into terrible state of depression. Was taken into hospital. One night his wife came in to see him. Said, Harry, what's wrong? That young man just broke down in a flood of tears. And then he tried to tell her. He said, you know, last night the Lord stood at the foot of my bed and said, Harry. And then he couldn't continue with it, and she became frustrated and broken herself and says, Harry, what did he say to you? Oh, he said, Mary, look, he stood at the bottom of my bed and he spoke to me. But she says, Harry, what did he say to you? Oh, she said, Mary, that's the problem. I couldn't hear what the Lord said to me for the noise of the mill. And sometimes we can't hear what the Lord is saying because we're so caught up with the things of time. But not Hannah. She prayed a vow. She poured out her soul. She bargained with God. She kept the bargain. And verse 12 tells us that she persevered in prayer. And it came to pass as she continued praying. And you will notice that she not only continued praying, but she was specific in praying. She said, "For this child I prayed." And we need to be specific in our prayers. And verse 27 says that she could then say, "The Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him." We've all read stories of George Mueller, the German, imprisoned in his youth, came to Bristol, was saved by God's grace, set up the children's homes, and he says that he had friends that he wanted to see, saved by God's grace, five in particular, and he says, "I set my heart to pray for those men, and after 5 years, two of them got saved. Then after 10 years, another two got saved." He said, "I had to pray 25 years every day before my last friend got saved." We must never grow weary in praying. Hannah prayed, and God answered. And you'll see the criticism of her prayer. It says there in verse 13, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought." Note that, Eli thought. It doesn't say Eli knew. Eli thought. She'd been drinking. She prayed quietly in her heart. There was no sound from her voice. Her lips may have moved, but she's praying in her heart. Let me say this to those who can't take part publicly in a prayer meeting. Your presence is still valued. You can pray quietly in your heart. And that prayer will be heard as much as the prayer that's prayed audibly. Because Hannah's prayer was heard, though there wasn't a single word that was heard by anyone else around her. And they criticized her for it. They thought she was drunk. Eli was the priest, sadly. He wasn't spiritual enough to discern Hannah's predicament. But Hannah kept praying. Whatever the discouragements are, folk, we need to keep praying. Or the Bible says men are always to pray and not to faint. It was Mueller who said, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about. When I lie down in my bed, I would pray. When I rise in the morning, I pray." And the answers are always coming. It was Isaac Newton who said, "All my discoveries have been made in answer to prayer." So Hannah, she was misunderstood, she was criticized in her praying, but she discovered this, that God answers prayer. This brings us just to our last thought, Hannah's peace. There in verses 17 through to 20, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition which thou hast asked of him." Verse 18, "So the woman went her way, and," listen, "did eat," the depression's gone, "and her countenance was no more sad." This tormented soul had now found peace at last. The hymn writer says, "O mourner in Zion, how blessed art thou, for Jesus is waiting to comfort thee now. Fear not to rely on the word of thy God. Step out on the promise and get under the blood." And again, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." This is how it was with Hannah. According to verse 20, "When it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son. She called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the day she stood with that little boy in her arms, That was a public demonstration of how God answers prayer. He is the God of the impossible. He said himself, is anything too hard for the Lord? And there's no sinner too hard to save, no backslider too far away for him to restore, no situation too difficult for him to change. And the day that that boy was born in answer to prayer, one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history came into existence. We never know the potential of answered prayer. He was called Samuel because he was asked of God. And here is living proof. God answers prayer. Again, to quote Scriven's hymn, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. When Hezekiah was dying, he was a broken man. And he prayed that God would not let him die. He prayed that God would heal him. And the Lord said, tell Hezekiah, I have seen his tears, I have heard his prayers, and I will heal him. And God added 15 years to his life. Because God answers prayer. We may have circumstances today that nobody knows anything about. Remember, there's a God in heaven and he answers prayer. But we need often to get a new vision of the power of prevailing prayer. May God help us every day to realize the potential of prevailing prayer.